And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. I mean, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Well, I'll tell you what, aside from the fact that we cover a lot of ground where we are, I got two guys here in the mobile studio with me right now that are covering a lot of ground because they're working at a nationwide level. So I'm really excited to have these two gentlemen with me right now. And I'm going to start with just one of them. First of all, I'll tell you, I have two guys here. Chris McKenna is the founder and CEO of a company called Protect Young Eyes. And I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. And then the other gentleman I have here with me is Ben Bull. And Ben is an attorney who has been working in what we refer to as public interest law for a number of years. He's a former prosecutor, but then he has really made a name for himself working with organizations like Alliance Defending Freedom, was there on the onset, worked with Jay Sekulow at ACLJ, Alabama American Center for Law and Justice, and then also with First Liberty Institute, and now he's with an organization called the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Listen, when you hear me talk about Southern Poverty Law Center, and you know I have to pick a bone with them every once in a while, ACLU and other organizations that are on the liberal side of just kind of really messing with what we consider to be conservative values, fighting everything that we don't stand for, there are also organizations out there that are doing just the opposite, fighting the good fight, the same good fight I talked about in my monologue a moment ago. We are a nation of laws, and there are good people fighting good fights for good law on a daily basis. When you hear about things like these military service members who are asking for their religious accommodations on the vaccine mandate, First Liberty Institute is one of the organizations that fought for that. When you hear about different constitutional religious liberties issues around the nation, you've got Alliance Defending Freedom fighting for that. And right now, what you're also seeing is that there are sexually exploited children and for that matter, adults even. And there are people who are fighting for their rights. And Ben Bull is with us right now. Ben, we're proud to have you in the mobile studio with Right Side Radio.
Thank you, Phil. It's an honor to be with you. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for your career, I guess I would say. I mean, I'm a small town lawyer. Looking at somebody here now who has argued before the Supreme Court of the United States, I have to say it's a bit humbling to be with you right now.
Well, it's more than an honor to be here. Both of us have something in common. We both serve our Lord in our lives and commit our lives to His service, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. If you wouldn't mind, now you, every career path has its own niches. There's as many ways to practice law as there are to practice medicine. But you've had a path that has been a bit different than most. Would you mind just talking generically about public interest law for a minute?
Sure. Well, I got in it in an odd sort of way. I started out as a Virginia prosecutor, and for whatever reason, I had a knack for winning obscenity jury trials. For one thing, most prosecutors don't want to do them.
Yeah.
And I was a young prosecutor, and I said, well, darn, I'll do it. I volunteered. I get a chance to do jury trials. Are you kidding me? So I did it and won a case. Everybody was shocked, and won another case. And then we started closing down porno outlets in a place called Norfolk, Virginia. And so my name got in the newspaper a few times. There was a magazine piece about this prosecutor in Virginia that was having this success. And then I got hired. It was offered a job by a public interest law firm out in Arizona that did nothing but train prosecutors and the Department of Justice how to win these cases. And, you know, I prayed about it, and it wasn't exactly the career path I thought I was going to do, but they flew my wife and I out there to Arizona, and I thought, man, this is a nice place. And then I turned them down. And then they said, what's preventing you from do this and from taking the job? I said, well, I need to pray about it. And said, well, let's pray together right now. So long story short, every time I threw up an objection or a problem, they cured it.
Oh, wow.
And so I went out to Arizona and started doing nonprofit law at that time. And then from there, I did a stint as corporate counsel for a large Fortune 500 company. And I don't want to go sideways there, but I did that for a bit. And then my buddy, Don Wildman, who was at the time founded American Family Association, had been sued by Playboy and Penthouse and some other magazines claiming RICO violations, claiming that organizing picketers outside of porno outlets was a RICO violation because it was a form of censorship.
Well, that's a novel approach to the law.
Yeah. Well, to make a long story short, he basically brought me out there, hired me, and I defended him. We won the case, and I was there for a few years, and then wanted to go back to Arizona, and I'd become friends with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah.
And because I'd done some presentations at Regent Law School at a conference they have every year. Jay said, "Ben, we'd like to open up a West Coast office. We have our eye on you. We'd like you to open it for us. Would you be interested?" I called my wife and I said, "Let's go back to Arizona." And was there for 10 years. And then Jay asked me to go to Europe. You know, Pat Robertson was involved in this and asked me to go to Strasbourg, France to open up a European office to practice law at the European Court of Human Rights.
Wow.
And I said, "Well, you know, I don't speak French." They said, "Oh, that's no problem. You can study it for 5 hours a day for 6 weeks." So that's what we did. So we picked up and moved to France, sold our house in Arizona, did that for 3 years. And then my dear friend Alan Sears, who had launched ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom,
right.
He was also a former prosecutor. He and I had worked together for many years earlier. He said, "Ben, we're going into direct litigation at ADF. Would you come and be the architect of it, launch it, design it, hire the lawyers, get it started, then run it?" And I thought, "Well, God, you know, this is a big, hairy, audacious goal. What do you want me to do?" And so I prayed about it, and I said yes. And so I was there for almost 18 years. I was the first lawyer. Mm. When I left, we had over 60 lawyers.
There you go. Wow.
And winning cases at the Supreme Court, which was the whole thing was designed to do, was to get file strategic cases in the lower courts, say no to some cases, only strategic cases, so that we can change the law of the country at the Supreme Court. And that was the key to the success of that organization. And then Alan Sears retired, and I was chief counsel running all the whole legal side of it and some more. And I stayed there for a while, and then I was going to retire.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting with
good
you.
Luck with that.
You can tell I'm not a kid. I've been doing this for a while. But then my dear friend Pat Truman, who I'd known at the Department of Justice, said, "Ben, you're too young to retire. Why don't you come to work for us as general counsel and launch the law firm we want to create it at NCOSIR, National Center on Sexual Exploitation?" So I said, "Well, Pat, I don't want a job just to have a job. You know, what's our big, hairy, audacious goal?" He said, "Well, I want you to destroy the online sex trafficking industry in America as it exists today."
I love that. So he basically said, "I want you to destroy the..."
Yeah.
"All right, bring it on."
So I said, "Well, okay, Pat, well, has anybody ever won a case against these guys?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, how much money do you have?" He said, "Well, we have $38,000. And I said, "So this is a complete God thing, right?" He said, "Yeah, that's a God thing." I said, "Well, let's go." I said, "We'll know in 6 months or a year whether or not God's in it or not. And if he is in it, we'll have success. If not, then we'll move on with our lives." And here we are 5.5 years later. We have our law firm.
Yeah.
We have class action lawsuits against all the major online sex trafficking entities. We have a major lawsuit against Twitter. We have lawsuits against Meta. We have lawsuits against the state of Nevada. We have lawsuits against the biggest brothels in Nevada, all for sex trafficking, enslaving women against their will and exploiting them. And God's blessed it, and here we are. I'm sitting with you, Phil, talking to a great audience in Alabama.
Well, I tell you what, you said something too that reminds me of the great story of Jonathan and his armor bearer. Went across, the Midianites were camped on the far side of the valley, and Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Let us go across to these uncircumcised heathen and see if God is in it." And that's exactly what you just did, was you and the guy who brought you on said, "Let's go see if God's in it."
Right.
And here you are. By the way, they slew a bunch of Midianites in that story.
I know that story, and I want to do the slaying for God. I don't want to get slain, right?
Yeah.
But here we are.
Well, over the years, let me ask you this, and then we'll start moving towards the legislation you guys are working on together. But over the years, you've had an opportunity, I'm sure, to be involved in some significant cases. And there are times when I'm sure that it'll be one that is more significant to you personally. Just in thinking back, and I'm putting you on the spot here, but just in thinking back over your career doing public interest law on conservative, liberty-minded matters, is there any one or two cases that stands out?
Boy, a lot stand out. Just top of mind, you know, I did a case on behalf of a family that, or a couple that represented the National Day of Prayer in Tucson, Arizona. They were the organizers of the National Day of Prayer. You know, that's founded by Focus on the Family, and Shirley Dobson ran it for many years. And the prayer event, which is, you know, people get together and they pray in a public park, it was banned by the city of Tucson because it would be offensive to people watching other people pray.
Wow.
And so we filed a lawsuit against the city claiming that that was a violation of the First Amendment. Clearly it was. And that they have a double standard because the previous week they'd had the gay rodeo at the same park.
Huh.
And they had just a variety of crazy events. And long story short, we lost the case in the federal district court in Tucson. Very, very liberal, progressive judge. Went up to the Ninth Circuit. We call it the Ninth Circus at times.
Yeah, exactly.
Lost there. Went to the Supreme Court. We won at the Supreme Court. Was remanded back to the Ninth Circuit, which remanded back to the trial court. It took 7 years.
Wow.
And ultimately, we established the precedent that cities and towns could not ban the National Day of Prayer in public parks. And they paid me about $200,000 in attorney's fees. So thank you very much. That was a good day in court.
That is truly awesome. Well, gentlemen, you guys are working on something. We have to take a break, but you guys are working on something. We come back from this break. What I'd like to dive into is the idea of actually working on behalf of kids and what we can do. And that's when I'm going to pull you in, Chris, and do that as well. All right. All right. We're going to take a break right now. I am sitting here in the mobile studio with Ben Bull and Chris McKenna. We got some cool things happening right now, and there's legislation that's coming up. We've talked about it once in the past. It's coming back again this session, and we need it to pass. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. I am back in the mobile studio, got a few minutes now. I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic over, and there's a gentleman named Chris McKenna who's here with us. Chris is the founder and CEO of a company called Protect Young Eyes, and you can find them at protectyoungeyes.com. It's all one word, protectyoungeyes.com. And I love the byline. It says, creating safer digital spaces for families, schools, and churches. And Chris, welcome to Right Side Radio.
Thank you. I want some of those superpowers. I'll take that. That sounds great. Thank you.
We got all kinds of superpowers on this show.
It sounds like it.
So, Chris, I tell you what, before we even jump into this piece of legislation, which we might wind up taking after the top of the hour, but,
sure.
But the reality is you've got I thought I had an eclectic resume. You've got a very, by the way, you also pointed out to me that you are from Michigan, but you were a Michigan State fan, not a Michigan Wolverine.
Yeah, I just
fan.
Want to be really clear with your audience there. So just nobody turn off the radio right now. You can stay with me.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's good. We got a whole bunch of Roll Tiders out there.
Good.
All right. So tell us about your background. How'd you get to where you are with Protect Young Eyes?
Well, yeah, you have plans and then but God, right? There's that, yeah. that point, right? And so I'm an accountant by degree. I graduated with a degree in business and worked with Ernst & Young for 12 years.
We got all the boring people here, lawyers and accountants.
Lawyers and accountants, right? I know it. Well, and I felt, though, that that was not what I was supposed to retire from, Phil. And so the Lord called me into ministry. And so I went from being a CPA into junior high ministry because accounting is so much like middle school. So much like it, right?
Yeah.
And so that was what I did for 7 years. But what's important to point out, Phil, is the time frame. So that was from 2009 to 2016 was when I was full-time at this large church in Western Michigan. And that is when we put the internet in the pockets of children for the first time in human history.
Yeah.
That's right. And so too. I watched this take place. And I was a man who for years, after an early childhood exposure to pornography, I struggled with porn myself for years. And then I watched us put that poison in their pockets, and it terrified me. So I simply just started doing research for families that were in our church. New apps that were coming out, parents completely underappreciating the risk. And that consultant in me saw a problem and wanted to fix a problem.
Yeah.
And so started a small Facebook group that led to parents asking more questions, that led to some new segments and other opportunities that then led to the launching of the website in 2015. And now 8 years later, I have a team of five now six presenters that are traveling the country doing 300 to 400 presentations a year at schools and churches everywhere. So,
wow. Are y'all set up as a 501c3 or UF nonprofit?
So they're one side of us is, and then the advocacy side that we're about to talk about here when it comes to the legislation and working with students, that is the nonprofit side, the PYE Foundation. If people were to go to protectyoungeyes.com, that's the side where we take care of families and answer their questions.
Okay.
And that is an LLC. So, yeah.
Well, I feel like I have an eclectic resume, but it sounds like you've got one just as it. But that's what God does. I mean, he just shows up and says, I got a new thing, and here's a new season, and step into it.
Yeah.
All right. So you're doing this thing, and you call it Protect Young Eyes. What is the company? I mean, like, how do you do what you do? I mean, you mentioned that you consult, you mentioned that you present, but when you do that, what is it you're presenting? And I saw a presentation today, so I'm assuming that was kind of what you were doing.
Yeah, so we have four different talks that we offer to schools to bring us in for parents, right? We have a talk that focuses on creating a tech-ready home. And Phil, that's built around our five core values that we have seen in families who have children, who learn how to use technology in good, God-honoring ways, around delaying certain technologies, around creating authentic connection, around modeling the right behaviors, around advocating for change. These are values that we teach families practical ways to implement, whether their children are 4 or 14, practical ways to implement these five values in their home. That's how to create a tech-ready home. We also have deep dives on mental health and technology. Those are most often done. We go to a lot of teacher professional development days, and we educate whole, say, dioceses of teachers and principals, or a whole day with teachers to educate them on what is happening at that mental health level. We have a deep dive on pornography and self-generated content. That's the trading, and also now into deep fakes and other emerging issues with AI. And so it depends on what the school needs, right? Where are their parents? What are their questions? And then for students, we have a whole separate track of talks, talking to them at their level, all the way down to kindergarten, right? Teaching them how to make good choices online. But it's really important for the whole family to be on board, both bottom down from the parents being equipped with these very complicated technologies, complicated setups, which we'll get into here in a minute, but then also bottom up, because parents don't control all of the ways in which their kids get online, whether it's through friends or other places. So kids need to have some tools too.
And I would be honest with you, having raised kids, and luckily raising them prior to the days in which the internet was always in their pocket.
Right.
But now that I have grandkids,
I
look at it, and you don't even realize the number of ways that the material you're talking about can get into a kid's hand, and you didn't even know it was there. That's what's so infuriating. Is there? And I would say that some of it is intentional by the industry, but there's also just ways that it just slips in, and you didn't even know it could do that.
And that's the part that's so heartbreaking. It's the early accidental childhood exposures. It's the child who, on a Chromebook or on a phone, it could even be a parent's phone, is doing a search for a word and a filter isn't enabled.
Yep.
I hear that story over and over again. And also the more malicious side of that, where I hear stories all the time on school buses. Now what you have is a whole school bus full of children who aren't monitored, but have this, dare I say, lowercase g, godlike technology in their pocket that now are showing other kids' content. And right, so you've got both sides of this, where it's accidental, but it's also intentional. But this now transitions maybe a little bit into what could be done more on the devices to prevent some of that stuff.
Well, we're about to head into a break, but I can just tell you, I can remember being infuriated when my daughter, bless her heart, when she was, and she's a grown up now, married and all, but when she was probably in fourth grade, had to do a school report on the White House.
Yeah.
And using the internet at the house with parents available, typed in whitehouse.com instead of whitehouse.gov.
That's right.
And was really upset when she went to something that she didn't know was going to happen, and we didn't know was going to happen. And go figure. All right, listen. We are headed to a break. I think I hear the music. Butters, what we got, man? Am I hearing music or not? I am hearing music. All right, there it is. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, sitting here in studio right now with Ben Bowen and Chris McKenna. You're going to want to hear about this legislation that's coming up next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the mobile Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, we cover down on all of it. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. Inexplicably, we're already at hour number two. How does this happen? But I'm right back now in this mobile studio, proud to be with you, traveling abroad, catching all the interviews that I can. And right now I've got two guys with me, Ben Bull, an attorney who has long done an amazing amount of work in public interest law, and Chris McKenna, who's with an organization called Protect Young Eyes. And let me just jump into, so today I had this opportunity to be here with other state legislators, conservative policy, you know, pundits and activists and folks who do good things around the state. We had some, I saw at least one, maybe two assistant DAs in the room, investigators for DAs. I mean, these are the kind of people that you want to hear, you want to know are hearing about the proposed law, the legislation that you guys were talking about today. So which of you would like to kick off what we're trying to get done this year in the legislative session?
I've got the mic, I'll jump in. So
well, yeah. Then let's do this, Chris. So right now, and I teased it earlier in the show right before y'all walked in,
yeah,
there is a way too easy opportunity to help get accidental influence of pornography away from children, and it's a no-brainer. I think I even said in the room when we were in there, this is a why would you not kind of legislation.
Right.
Go ahead and give the audience a quick overview of where we are.
Well, every time we activate a device, that process of turning it on for the first time, which whether you're an iPhone person or an Android person, or Phil, you could even apply the same logic to tablets, right? We have Android tablets or iPads that a lot of kids use. These are devices that are incredibly intelligent. They know who's using them. And they already have a lot of features that come on the device ready to use that can help families, but you have to be one that knows how to use it, how to set it up. And honestly, that's where Protect Young Eyes came from. If technology, whether it was apps or devices, was as user-friendly as some other things that we, you know, use every day, then I wouldn't be necessary. I wouldn't have to create guides for setting up these devices. But that's why we came into existence. And we simply, you know, Ben, working at Nicosi and myself at Protect Young Eyes, we were looking for a common sense way to make it easier for parents to protect their kids from some of this accidental exposure. We talked a little bit about that before the break as we were talking about kids on buses, right?
Right, right.
And we have these devices right in their hands, so why not do more automatically for kids when we know a kid is using it to filter out some of that junk?
So the bottom line is, every device is pretty much made with the filter potentially already, I mean, it's already there, but you have to activate the filter.
The capability to filter out obscenity is already on every Android and iPhone that is in the homes of the families that are listening to us right now.
So you used an analogy. Tell them the seatbelt analogy you used when we were in there earlier saying.
Sure.
I mean, go ahead and just take it, because it was hilarious, but it's also to the point.
Yeah, so imagine purchasing a car, and you're saying to yourself, you know what, I want to put my kid in this car, I want to keep him safe, so I'm going to put a seatbelt on him, or I want to wear a seatbelt myself, right? Imagine when you purchased a car, if the seatbelts were in a box in the trunk, and they didn't tell you that's where the box was. And one day you open up the glove box and you find a set of instructions in there, and they're in old English, and they refer to the fact that there's a box in the back that can help you keep your car safer. But now you're in charge of setting up and installing those seatbelts to protect your kids. Now, it's a bit of an exaggeration.
It's not.
But in some sense, it's not.
As I know, a non-techie, yeah. I can tell you it's not.
I get DMs from parents, direct messages, and emails from parents, Phil, all week long. Right? These are smart, intelligent people. and they get stuck. It needs to be easier.
Well, so I'm an Android guy, personally.
We'll hold that against you. You're good.
I have still not been assimilated into the Borg of iPhone. But that being said, I can come in here and I can set up my mobile studio and I can stream a show back that's now being broadcast over to the staff of state and do all the things. And I have no idea where this filter is on my phone. So you're telling me that my Android, if I was to hand this to my grandson, I can activate a filter on it that would make sure he doesn't stumble across something.
Google, I mean, we all know Google has safe search, right? Google has a safe search feature.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be? Now, in that specific instance, yes, you could turn on, you could go in and toggle on safe search. You as an adult may not choose to use that filter, right? That's a really important part of any legislation that I'll hand the mic to Ben to cover because that's his lane when it comes to the First Amendment and content and speech. But if that phone, let's say your grandchild was turning 14 and it was time to give them a phone, wouldn't it be great if there was an easy way in activating that phone for your grandson or granddaughter that by telling it you were activating it for a 13 or 14 year old, it would automatically turn on certain filters to protect them from that content? That's what we want.
And that can be state specific because the phones also know where they are because the towers tell them. And that can also be age specific because very often you guys mentioned in the presentation earlier, you have to enter your age, your birth date into the phone. If you're the possessor of the phone, it can tend to know that you're there. And these things are what can trigger the need to have to turn on that filter at state levels, what you're saying.
That's right. That state to state, depending on where it's passed or where it's not, when you set up that Android, put a Gmail account in it, it had a birthday.
All right, let me get Ben in here. So Ben, in my low level of lawyering, I mean, the first things that come to my mind are questions about First Amendment protections. I think of things like, is it a burden on interstate commerce that Alabama would do something, and then does it impact other states? Does this thing withstand constitutional muster? I mean, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, we have a model piece of model statute, which which is being circulated here in Alabama, and it will pass constitutional muster. It was carefully drafted. You know, there have been a long series of efforts, primarily in Congress, to pass federal legislation to regulate the internet. The last big one was something called the Child Online Protection Act. And it was struck down by the Supreme Court in 2004. I won't give you the name of the case, but the majority of the court said, look, restrictions at the ISP level, in other words, total bans, a ban across the board, violates the Constitution because you can't reduce adults to what is suitable for children.
Gotcha.
What this law does is basically allow adults access to all the explicit material they want on the internet while turning a filter that protects children to on, it defaults to on. The children never get the five-digit passcode to turn it back on. That's in the possession of the parents. In other words, when a phone is activated, let's say you go into a Verizon store to buy a phone for your 15-year-old child.
Right.
And all you have to do is at step four along the activation process, you put in the age of the primary user, which will be the child. A filter is automatically defaulted to on, so that child cannot access pornography on the browser level, period. And the only way that filter comes off is if the parent takes it off. It's against the law to give the five-digit PIN to the child, and if the next-door neighbor, for example, somehow figures out how to turn the filter off and exposes your child to obscene material, that person can be prosecuted or can be sued by the family who assumed that the child was protected because they were complying with the law and it was undone by some creep down the street who exposed their child to pornography against the parent's will by removing the filter. That person can be prosecuted. That person can be sued. So it allows adults all the access they want to explicit material while guaranteeing that children don't have access to it.
So you have a civil cause of action potentially, and you also have criminal penalties potentially.
Correct. Right.
And then the enforcement mechanism, is that vested in any, I mean, is it right there in the local level, the DA can take it if he needs to, or is this a attorney general enforcement
level?
The model
is pretty dynamic. It can either be the attorney general, if you want to vest him with the authority to do it, or state DAs could be authorized to enforce the law.
Okay.
But prosecutors prosecute state laws all the time. This is nothing new. And the model we have has a feature that allows civil litigation. In other words, if you're an aggrieved parent whose child is now hooked on porn because some creep down the street removed the filter and you didn't know it, you can sue them for damages.
Yeah.
And liquidated damages.
Oh, and liquidated damages too.
Because when actual damages are difficult to ascertain,
yeah,
the law permits a specific amount of damages, let's say $20,000 per violation. And so we have to have teeth in the law, otherwise yeah, people will not comply with it.
Well, I completely agree. I mean, and what I'm concerned you're going to find is the lobbyists may find that they don't have enough sentiment within the legislature to avoid getting the bill passed, but they will suck the teeth right out of it, and then they'll make sure that it has no enforcement mechanism. And right, I've seen that happen too many times. This is a good bill, and I would imagine you guys are already in discussions with members of our state legislature. I saw several here today. And I'm hoping you're already looking at bill sponsors being lined up in both the House and the Senate.
Yep. We're working with Malia Stevens and a lot of great people.
Yeah.
A lot of legislators were here. Anybody who understands it says this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
The filter is already on the device. Instead of defaulting to off, default it to on for children. Don't give them the passcode. Give it to the parents.
Well, here's the bumper sticker. How about we default for our kids?
Default for our kids.
Just default for our kids. That's all we got to do. Well, gentlemen, we are up against another break. I mean, it flies by. Whenever I do interviews, it always flies by. But I want to tell you how much I appreciate the work you're doing, both of you. ProtectYoungEyes.com. People can check you guys out, Chris.
That's correct.
And then, Ben, you're with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. I assume y'all have a website if somebody wants to check that out, too.
You do. All you have to do is really just type in the words National Center on Sexual Exploitation.com if you want. It'll come up. Or just Google NCOSE, N-C-O-S-E,
okay,
and that'll take you to our website. And we have lots of information, including information about this bill.
Okay. Well, you guys are doing what I earlier called the good fight for good law, and so I appreciate the work that both of you are doing, and thank you for making time for Right Side Radio today.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Safe travels back to where you got to go. And Butters, I tell you what, that's it, man. Let's go ahead and take it to a break. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, and we'll begin moving forward. I've got a little more to discuss on this first dipper because technically, I've got an entire stack of papers in front of me that apparently have to get rattled and talked about. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.